Welcome, everyone, to the Kilroy Williams Show. So good to be back with you today. My guest today is an author, financial advisor, and he's written many interesting books. And today we're going to talk about his newest, latest book and what we can expect in the world, what's going on today. Please, let's welcome Don Gallade. Don, welcome to the Kilroy Williams Show today. How are you, sir?
I am great. Thanks for having me. Blessed.
Absolutely. So, Don, you've been an author for quite a while. Tell us about all the books you have and how long you've been into this. And was this the Holy Spirit telling you to do this as part of your ministry? And tell us about that.
Yes.
Great.
Actually, that's it. No, I was a financial advisor since 86. And we homeschooled all our children. Well, my wife homeschooled all our children. I just bought the books. And what happened was she was on a missions trip in Africa 15, 16 years ago. And kids were little. I was playing Mr. Mom, and I'm scrolling through the channels on TV. And I was in the religious section channels, and everybody's talking about money, every preacher. I was like, oh, God, come on, man. You know, I don't want to talk about money now because it's all I do. And after like seven of them, wow. I thought the Holy Spirit, like, okay, there's something here. And I felt the Holy Spirit nudge saying, I want you to write a book. And I was like, ooh. So I just started typing, you know, and that was my first book, In God We Trust, The Dollar We Worship. And in that book, researching for it, you know, I've been a Christian my whole life, probably not a good one until the last 15, 20 years, you know, but what I learned from researching that book was God talks about money more than heaven and hell and salvation. Now, not combined, but individually. And I was just blown away by that because it's that important that God talks about it. And, you know, from there was a couple of other books, but the latest one, Awoken, is a spoof off the term woke,
which,
you know,
which we
people
hear
our age. Like, yeah. Woke mean, eh?
Yeah.
And it, I was doing an in-depth study with a book of Revelation, probably for about a decade. I was studying with Perry Stone. His ministry is phenomenal when it comes to, especially end times. And as I was just one day kind of complaining about the world and kind of chuckling to myself about woke-isms, it dawned on me that there's so much in the book of Revelation that many would call conspiracy theories that is actually tied to what's going on in the world right now. Now, I'm not prophesying we're in the last day. We are in the last days, but I'm not prophesying we are, you know, in the tribulation and the seals.
Right.
None of that. Okay? That's
right.
Way above my pay grade. But I am saying that it's the birth pains of the tribulation. We are definitely witnessing that. And I walked where Jesus walked 2 years ago in Israel. And when I stood above the piece of land where the Battle of Armageddon will take place, Valley of Megiddo, something stirred inside of me that I can't even put words to it. I can't even describe it. I think what blew me away most was the fact that Nazareth, the town where Jesus lived, is on top of the Valley of Megiddo. I didn't know that. So when they said, you know, Jesus was preaching in his hometown early on and they wanted to throw him down a hill, it's the same hill that lands where he's going to vanquish Satan. And something inside of me just clicked. And I was like, you know, the world needs to know, not just know about Jesus, but know that the lukewarmness that our churches are experiencing, the wokeness has infiltrated the pulpit. And it's watering down the message because there are so many, now not all, but there are so many churches. I'm not talking about denomination. I'm talking about churches. They care more about, let's not offend. let's make sure we get our money. I'm sure we get the tithe. Let's not irritate. Yeah. Let's not let the church split. And that's what makes Jesus sad the most. According to the scriptures, he cares most about what offends him is the lukewarm church. Mm-hmm. And that's what the whole premise of the book was. It's really a very intense wake-up call if you're saved, and it's an evangelical message to welcome you to Jesus if you're not saved.
Well, that's a very interesting subject that you're mentioning there. Speaking of the lukewarm church, don't you think that is part of Satan kind of interfering, walking in the door there?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and churches are just so blind to it. What are your thoughts? Your opinion is how does one know there's a good church to go to? How can you trust a church that you know? I mean, I guess you know if it's Bible speaking, that kind of thing. But just like you said on television, I don't pay attention to that because that's just all garbage. Sure. Majority of it. There might be a few that might be okay. You know, I mean, Billy Graham, you know, and that kind of thing, their ministry. Yeah, right. But, you know, but it's just really, really hard. What's your thoughts about that?
You know, that's the $1 million question right there.
Right. You lost me, but go ahead. Go ahead. Keep going. It's just my camera. Keep going.
I hate when that happens. But
yeah.
I have two kids that are pastors in an Assembly of God church.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a daughter-in-law that's worship leader in that church. I was the former worship leader of that church, and I was, you know, involved with a heavy in the of that church many years ago. And I think the problem is people in general, they expect to be entertained. They want warm fuzzies. They want to hear their favorite songs. They want to hear their favorite verses. You know, church is supposed to be a place where we go to worship. It's not like, you know, punching a time clock and putting in your 45 minutes to an hour and a half once a week and calling it done. And it's so hard. It's so hard. And I think because of offense, and that's what we see a lot of. And ironically, this is one of the things that Jesus talked about, that in the last days, people will be offended and there'll be false prophets and false teachers. And then the part of that verse that was actually the catchphrase, but the thrust of my book Awoken was, even the elect may be deceived. Yeah. Now, what is elect? Well, it's people who know the Lord. It's people who are saved. It doesn't necessarily say that it's, you know, speaking in tongues, baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know, all of that. But it's people who know the word are elect. And even the elect may be deceived. And, you know, when you go back to the Garden of Eden, now, Adam named every single animal, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Physically, he knew every single animal. He gave them names. Here comes this thing, okay? He doesn't know what it is. He didn't name it. But the serpent, as we know now, well, it walked upright, and it was basically Satan was the worship leader in heaven before he got kicked out. So what better way to screw with the world, pardon the French of saying it that way, with music, okay? Whether it be infiltrating Christian music or infiltrating secular music, you know, that's where Satan got, that's where he was created for. He was the worship leader. He was beautiful. We read about that in Ezekiel, how beautiful Satan was. And I would say that Adam and Eve, the first two people on the planet, were elect. Okay, and Satan deceived them.
Mm-hmm.
So what chance do we have as fleshy bodies to go through this world without Jesus? I mean, yeah. Satan tempted Jesus. So I think ultimately the problem, in my uneducated opinion of churches, is people expect to go there to come out with warm fuzzies and, you know,
a pep rally kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a great analogy. Now, we go there to worship the Lord. And And Satan is going to mess with the sound. He's going to mess with things like, you know, things that are going to irritate the people so that they can't enter into that world oneness, that fellowship, the fellowship with the Lord. And then, because if the worship is off, that ushers in the message. I mean, the worship team went before the Israelites before a war. So if the worship is off and if it's skewed and it messes with you, you're not entering into the fellowship and the message is watered down and it's not preaching the real gospel, or the church is allowing people in there that aren't necessarily preaching the word, so many just turn away.
Yeah.
And Christ didn't come to give us a religion. Give us a relationship.
Yeah.
And you know, to answer your earlier question about, you know, Satan infiltrating the church, what the Lord showed me is there's seven pillars or spheres of influence or mountains, as some famous preachers have termed. And these seven spheres, one of them is religion, the other one is science, and then we have education and business and family and government. And Satan has infiltrated all of them. And this is the thrust of my book. Satan has infiltrated all of them, and he's working hard on religion. He hasn't gotten it all yet. Mm-hmm. And he won't until the very end, when he'll try even harder.
Yep.
And that's where we're at right now.
Okay.
That's where we're at.
Yeah, that's a great, great point that you mentioned. Let's get into your new book. It's very interesting. You know, the Woken, right? Is that the name of it? You said Woken?
Yep.
You know, and we're in that woke term that we heard so many for the past 3 or 4 years. You know, I think our world's always been a fallen, broken world, but it seems to be more chaos in the past since I call it the scandemic, started in 2020. It's almost like, I think some of that, it was mentioned in the Bible, deceitful, you know, and, you know, people just like falling to their knees, surrendering to this evil authority that we have. Right. And I don't care what side of the aisle you are in, as far as, you know, the politics, they're all in the same umbrella. They all follow that evil lead, that evil empire.
Absolutely.
That is happening. They're all into
Babylonian
it together.
System.
Absolutely. So, I think that, you know, with the scandemic, you know, I think that was a big eye opener. That's one reason why I started this podcast, because the church was so blind and just following the lead and surrendering. I'm saying, wait a minute, you know, we got to wake up, people. This is not what we're supposed to do as Christians. Now, there's some that stood up and some of them went to jail for it.
Right.
And, that's what you're supposed to do, you know, is surrender your life to Christ. And, you know, and I'm sure those ones that did that were very much and will be blessed by God for doing that. But it's so many. It was such a fast paced thing that was happening. It's just like dominoes. Bang, 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 bang. Everything was happening. It still is now, you know. Mm-hmm. What is your insight on this? Is this just like I thought? It's like you know, when people were surrendering and taking that vaccine. You know, I don't have a problem with vaccines, but I had a problem the way they did it and forcing you, that kind of thing. You know, and it was never tested. A lot of people, it's been proven. A lot of people got sick and passed from that. To me, it was almost like a test of the mark of the beast. That's just my opinion.
100%
and
agree with you.
It's so, you know, even friends and close family, you never thought that they would do something like that. And I'm talking about Christians. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm like, what in the world? I can't believe this. People that I know and love, they fell for this. And you couldn't talk about it because it would, like, create very terrible arguments or something, disagreements. Well, you know, and I think that was one of the points. They wanted to break up relationships. They want division. What are your thoughts about this whole thing?
Well, you know, it's funny because if somebody said they would give me the elevator pitch for your book, I'd say it's everything you're not supposed to talk about at a family, a holiday dinner. Politics, mm-hmm. God, religion, money, you know, it's all wrapped into there. And I agree with you 100%. Now, the in the pillars that we spoke of, there's the medical pillar, there's the government pillar. And I when I call the, you know, like the plandemic is what I, my phrase was, you know, when
same difference. So
exactly. When it first happened, I had a check in my spirit, and the Lord just said to me, I don't know how many times, maybe 100, boot camp. All he kept saying was boot camp. And I, what does this mean? I mean, I know what boot camp is, but what does this mean? And then when I started doing research for this book, which was starting during that time, that's what he showed me. That was, you know, the vaccine is not, repeat, not the mark of the beast.
Right.
But it is an efficient way to get people to have a dry run. Mm-hmm. And when I started going down this rabbit hole, I have a whole chapter on how did we get here? Okay. We didn't just get here because of, you know, one day we woke up and we, you know, we had, you know, the situation. When Israel screwed up every time they did, the Lord sent them a bad leader. Mm-hmm. Okay. And America's been that way since that. I call it the slippery slope from the 60s, where we, you know, we took prayer to school, and then we have the abortion, and then we have the let's desecrate the family. And that's what Satan's goal is, to divide, to kill, and conquer. And he starts with the family. And that's a whole separate topic from your question. Mm-hmm. But in the realm of government, every president we've had a piece to play to get us to where we are now. And I didn't see it until I started studying just the last 100 years of presidents. All right. So, for example, you think, Nixon took us off the gold standard. That was pretty bad. Reagan decentralized, you know, a lot of the stuff that's going on. And that's how we can have these, you know, conglomerates in the media. And you kind of little tiny tidbits you blow off. But then when you think, Clinton gave us NAFTA so we don't have to produce anything over here. And then Bush Sr. gave us the term, the New World Order. Bush Jr. gave us the Patriot Act. And of course, then we have Carter, who gave us the Department of Education and the Department of Energy, the two biggest issues in the world, where we got the dumbing down of the children in education and the climate change. And I could talk for 2 hours on just the climate change. But when you put all of those together, the Lord said to me, it's a tapestry. I was like, what do you mean it's a tapestry? God, you know, it's from the Lord when he gives you something, at least for me, when he gives you something cryptic and now you have to figure it out. Right. So I started looking at a tapestry. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's pretty. And then it's like, turn it over. And when you turned it over, it's just strings and a mess. And you can't see the picture, but those strings and that mess is what we're weaving. Now, God sees the opposite side of that picture. He sees the finished product in the tapestry. And do you know what the picture is on the tapestry? It's the Lord. So all of this mess intertwines. And when we see that, you know, in Revelation, it says, well, we're going to have a one world leader. Well, obviously, we know that's the Antichrist. Well, we're going to have a one world government. How can that be? Well, let's look at the UN. Let's look at the Fed now, and the BRICS, and the International Monetary Fund, and the World Health Organization. And let's look at what was Project 2020 that is now Project 2030. And all of this stuff that is all yours, the conspiracy theorist. Really? Really? Project 2030 talks about no cars, no fossil fuels. Everybody lives in a smart city, so it's centrally located. So everything you need is there, and all your needs are taken care of by the government, by the world government. You don't have to work because we're just going to pay you. And this is what is in their documents on their websites. They don't even hide it anymore.
No, they don't hide it. They don't. No.
And you know why? These people believe in the concept of karma. And as a Christian, we don't believe in karma.
Right.
But those that believe in karma have to telegraph their future moves for fear it will come back upon them. So they're telegraphing their moves ahead of time, and people won't listen. They are comfortably asleep.
Oh yeah. Yep. And that's the whole thing. That's their whole goal. They want them asleep.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then they are, as long as you know, leave me alone. Let me stay home and watch my Netflix and stuff like that, and take the kids to the ball game, that kind of thing.
Let's not worry about the invasion of illegals coming across the border. Let's take TikTok out in a day.
Yeah, that's another story. Yeah. They don't care. They don't care about, the border. That's another evil plan that Satan's using to take our country down. Because when the United States goes, the whole world goes.
Correct.
My opinion.
Absolutely. And it says that all countries will be against Israel. And you think, okay, well, United States isn't against Israel. Did you see what happened this week? Did you see what they're talking about this week? Did you see the little dance that Schumer did? Okay, there's a reason why when that man talks, he keeps his head down, because he doesn't want you to see the evil.
Yeah, he always does that. You're right. You're right. Yeah, he always talks looking at his feet. Yeah.
Correct, because he doesn't want you to see the evil in his eyes, because you could tell. If you're talking to somebody and you're looking into their eyes, you could see into their
the soul. Eyes tell a lot.
You know what they're about.
Yep, absolutely. The eyes are.
That's why the man's looking down. Okay, so once the United States doesn't line up with Israel and continue to support and defend Israel, then the Bible prophecy is pretty much there. All the countries of the world. You have an armada from multiple nations sitting in the Middle East. These people didn't roll all of their battleship, aircraft carrier fleets for a religious battle. Now, Killer, I want to share something with you that I just learned a week ago. Have you ever heard the term the red heifer? You understand what the scriptures talk about?
Oh, yeah, heifer, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And then they brought those over there, right? Then they
correct.
Last summer, I think, wasn't it?
Yes. There was five of them that came over, and it's funny because the reason why it took so long, well, obviously God's timing is perfect, but when a cow is born, they put a tag in its ear. So now that's blemished. It's not worthy. Nope.
Yeah.
So red heifers have existed for hundreds and hundreds of years, but they've just never been perfect. Well, the guy who was supposed to put the tag in at this one farm in Texas, he was sick with COVID, and the cows slipped through without a tag. Ooh. And when the Israeli folks heard about it, they said, oh, we want these cows. Well, there's a law that says you're not allowed to export cattle, but you can export pets. So they exported five pets to Israel.
They found a loophole?
Indeed. And the piece of land where they have to be sacrificed on, I stood there 2 years ago. It's in the Mount of Olives, and it has to be a perfect view of the Temple Mount. And a lot of the Temple Mount has been previously owned by Jordan, but this piece of land is owned by a rabbi. And he's like, we're ready. Now, that could potentially happen in a month. For Passover, their Passovers, April. And, to Christians, they say, well, that doesn't mean anything to us. Well, it's a timeline. It's an order of events. Dare I say, a checklist of things that have to happen.
Yep.
And when you look at Acts 2 and Joel 2, it talks about the youngest generation, that are going to be affected most. Young men will have dreams. Young men will have dreams and old men will prophesy. And I mean, in fact, that I, excuse me if I butchered that verse, but that happens before Jesus comes back. And in Israel, you're a child until you're 30 by their culture, because you have to be 30 to be a rabbi. It's like my oldest is 28. He's still a child as far as they're concerned. And he happens to be a preacher. So this is the generation that everything is targeted against. This is the generation that has to have the drugs and the wokeness and what sex are you, what gender are you, and what are your pronouns, and Jesus doesn't exist, and everything Satan has, because he knows his time is so limited, he has thrown at this generation with everything he has.
Mm-hmm.
And the church has allowed it to happen on their watch. But guess what? Jesus said this would happen. Jesus said this is going to take place. There's nothing new under the sun. So we can't get offended that this is taking place. All we can do is take as many people with us to heaven as we possibly can.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, Don. That is so, so true. So well said. Yeah, it's I think that's also, just like I said before, hence the domino effect, throwing everything he can. It was just so fast, and it's still going right now.
Well, there's some that believe that the attack from Hezbollah and the attack from in Gaza was to thwart the red heifer sacrifice. And that would be a great plan for the enemy to
Yeah. So you mean, maybe that's what this, possibly the story you heard, that where was the army when it took them so long to get there and that kind of thing. Right. And, you know,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Right.
Wow. What an eye opener, Don. Yeah. I never even thought of that. That is so true.
I didn't either. I you know, I'm not that smart. I can't take the credit for that. I heard that preached on.
Yeah. No. I'm just saying that's just so well, you know, that's such a point. The bag of oatmeal, as I call him, oatmeal for brains, that is in the White House right now. That's the enemy that is using him as well. I mean, you have somebody, I mean, talk about a puppet, you know, and what gets me is, again, everybody thinks it's okay. Everybody just acts like, oh, you know, it's just Uncle Joe. Everything's just fine. What are you talking about? Nothing to see here behind the curtain, as they said in Wizard of Oz, right?
Because the elect have been deceived.
Yeah.
I live about a half an hour from where he claims he was born. So, you know, I tend not to drive on the interstate near that section because of them renaming the roads. But
right. I hear you. Yeah. But it's again, I think that's part of the plan, you know, to have this. I mean, I don't know what the outcome of the election is. My personal opinion, I think the last one, Satan stole it. It's just my opinion. 100%. You know, And you know, it may happen again. I don't know. I don't know what God's plan is for Donald Trump. I know, but you know, I believe it's, I think he's possibly the new David for the Lord, fighting for the good. Maybe, you know, I mean, so, I mean, it's hard to say, but I just don't see, if he does win, I still, after 4 years, I just don't see this country making it. I just don't. And I don't mean to sound negative. I'm just speaking the truth, as we were just saying earlier, of what the Bible says.
Now, we don't know
the
day or the time.
No, absolutely.
You can tell the season. And if you there's some great teachings that are available through Perry Stone and Jonathan Kahn and some of these amazing prophetic teachers that point to 2030. Now, I'm not saying 2030 is it, but there's a lot of things that line up scripturally, that line up governmentally, that line up politically for the year 2030. Now, pretend for a second there's a hair of truth in that. Wake up, people. Mm-hmm. Okay? Like, maybe. I think what happens is a lot of people think that they could just live their life in sin and live their life in treachery, and before they take their last breath, say, oh, Jesus, save me, and I'm forgiven, and I just get a pass right into heaven. It doesn't work that way. Right. You know, you get up to the pearly gates, you're asked one question, smoking or not? Yeah. Okay, so that's good point. You have to make that reservation while you're here on earth.
Yep.
So you don't get a do-over there.
Yeah.
And I think what happens is, and the scriptures, Jesus says this, depart from me, I didn't know you, you know, and he, everything that we listen to in church, I think we listen to it, but we don't hear it. I think people are so used to hearing something, not to have it penetrate their soul and to get into their spirit and to receive it. They're so used to hearing something because they're processing what they're going to say next. And I'm even guilty of that.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
You know, my name is Naval. I can't stop talking with the hands, and I'll never shut up. I'll never stop eating either. But the point is, you know, people process things just so they can have this ongoing conversation or a debate rather than saying, thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
You know, it's that simple.
And listen, just listen. You know,
right.
Just listen.
Right. My own son was preaching this morning and he was throwing stuff from the pulpit that I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. Never heard that before. I like that. You know, so it's like, really? You know, you're never too old or too smart to have the Lord speak to you again.
That's right.
So
that's right. That's right. And you're never too old to start on the right track with God.
That's right.
You're never too old. You know what I mean? It's not like God's going to say, all your life you screwed up, too late now. No, that's not true. So your book, it does get into the Antichrist, right? A little bit. Okay. Can you explain a little bit what you talk about in your book? And because, because we're on this subject, and we're living in the, getting a little a pre-snapshot of what to expect.
Sure. Now, I'm a pre-trib believer. Okay, and if you don't know what that means, then you gotta look it up. All right, and so I believe that we're not gonna see the Antichrist. I believe that Jesus comes back, there's the rapture, and we're out of here, and then there's people that are left during the 7-year time frame. And it doesn't mean everybody who's left is immediately going to hell, because there is a do-over there for some. And the number, the percentages are spelled out too. Okay. But, so Jesus comes back, he doesn't touch down, but he comes up into the air, and this is in Thessalonians, two will be grinding, one will be taken, two will be sleeping, one will be taken. Yeah. So the word rapture just doesn't exist in that term rapture, because there was no English translation. Please forgive me if the word is wrong, but it's harpazo. There's a word that means rapture, but there's no English word for it. So the net result was we leave. The Christians, the believers that truly know Jesus are gone. And now the world is like, now people wake up. Okay. And there's this 7-year period where the first 3.5 years, the Antichrist has everybody bamboozled that's left thinking there's going to be this peace. And then he, kind of reneges on the treaty, and then the last 3.5 years are nasty, and then Jesus comes back and the road.
Yeah.
Now, there are in the Muslim world, you have Sunni Muslims, Shiite Muslims, and they have some different beliefs. And I wrote this right on the back of the book, that the Sunni Muslims will know this man when he shows up, who arrives on a white horse. They will know him as the Muslim Christ. The Shiite Muslims will know him as the Mahdi or a Mahdi. If I butchered that, I apologize. And then Christians know him as the Antichrist. Now, we don't even have enough time to unpack, that data. I show all my work in the book. The sources and everything are there. And you could find all of the people that I've interviewed, talked to, listened to, read about, and show specifically the scriptures that support this line of thinking. But the key thing is this: when the Muslim religion actually came to be, it was kind of based on one guy's opinion and then from their crew. Okay. And I don't want to talk about the Muslim religion in depth, because I am not a scholar in that at all.
Sure.
But there has been in history, there has been, there's a word that they use for having an agreement and breaking it halfway through. And in the Muslim religion, that has happened. So it's easy to see if indeed the Mahdi, when he arrives on the white horse, and he makes peace, that the agreement can be broken. So by using rabbinical documents, by using the word of God, by using documents outside of the Bible that were written, from ancient texts, from people who were there, and putting this all together, this is where the scholars that I've listened to come up with this concept. But the net is this: we could spend days talking about the Antichrist. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Right.
It doesn't matter. Know Jesus, be on the first boatload out, call it done. It's that simple. Okay? So, those that have to worry about the Antichrist are those who don't know Jesus and are here when he is. So yeah. We could spend less time in it. People spend ridiculous amounts of energy looking at the who is he, when is he coming, how does
right.
It doesn't matter. It's sure it's intriguing, and you know the title, the subline of my book is conspiracy or theory, and that's why I did it that way purposely. Okay, I'm intrigued by it. I'm still intrigued by the Kennedy assassination conspiracy and every other conspiracy because that's how I grew up and that's how I kind of just it's entertainment almost. But the net is these signs are unfolding. Okay, so what if the thing with the red heifer is indeed true? And what if, you know, we see all of these countries having the firepower that supersedes what we had in that region during World War II? Okay, like a carrier group. Do you know how much is involved in one carrier group? And we have two there? Have we ever done that before? I don't know.
Right.
I didn't serve. I'm embarrassed. I don't know a lot about that militarily. But that's a lot of firepower.
Yeah.
And you have the Ohio class nuclear sub. Really? You don't do that to squelch a rebellion. Something's up. Okay.
Yeah.
Something is up and we need to wake up. And there's nothing we're going to do or say or even how we vote to change it, because God has a timeline. God has this planned out by his agenda. And when it happens, it'll be the twinkling of an eye. And it's just like, you know, when Jesus comes back, it'll be like the days of Noah. What was it like in the days of Noah? For 100 years, Noah built the boat and everybody laughed at him.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yep.
Then the rain came. People stopped laughing. Okay? It'll be like the days of Lot. You know, they were having...
We aren't living in those days now. We are definitely.
Indeed.
I mean, you see people laughing. You see people joking. You know, you see the horrible, disgusting sins, homosexuality, transgender, you know, all that stuff. It's just...
Days of Lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, you're not offended by a drag queen reading a scripture... a drag queen reading a story to five-year-olds, but you're offended by the word Jesus mentioned in the House of Representatives during a prayer.
God
bless that man.
Oh my goodness,
that was awesome.
Yeah,
God bless him. That was fantastic. The enemy immediately thrusted up his head.
All of them on both sides of the aisle were so angry. How dare you?
Yeah.
But if he said Allah, if he said Allah, that would have been perfectly fine.
Right. Yeah. Because, you see, redemption is only through Christ. Getting to heaven is only through Christ. The enemy knows that. He knows every other religion. Let them go. They're already lost. But it says the only way to heaven is through Jesus. So the devil knows the scriptures more than we do. And he knows that that's the truth. So if that's the thing that has to rise up against is the name of Jesus.
Oh, so true. So true. And it's such a powerful name. And, you know, just that name just like either, you know, ticks people off or or just does miracles beyond. Do you remember, was it last summer where in Israel they had... Were they saying this guy that was going around doing miracles or something? Was he like a prophet? Was he the is he the Messiah they're looking for? Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I remember the story. Yeah,
yeah, and they were like thousands of people following this guy around. They're saying, "Oh, he's the Messiah. He's the Messiah." What's your thoughts about that? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, do you think
not even for a second? Then here's why: because in the timeline of things that have to happen, there is...
Well, we would have to be gone, like you said, the rapture, right?
The rapture.
First of all. Yeah. Yeah.
Right? So if we're here and this dude claims he's Jesus...
Sorry. Well, the Lord does always said there will be false prophets. We will be seeing that.
Correct.
You know, we will be seeing...
And that's the same verse. There'll be false prophets. They'll do miracles just like, you know, a false prophet can. And then even the elect may be deceived. And that all three of those are one part, one verse. And that's exactly what we see. And so, you know, there, I just love how you go on YouTube and now everybody's a prophet. Yeah. Lord said to me, these people hear from the Lord more than Moses did. I'm not saying it's not possible for people to hear from the Lord. I've heard from the Lord. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
But he speaks to you in his word.
Yeah.
All right. If the Lord's going to talk to you, he's going to use his word to do it. And he's not going to be like, go tell Bob I said. No, he'll go tell Bob.
Right. Right. That's so true. And it's funny. You see those people on YouTube or TikTok or whatever. And it's like every day they hear something every day. Yeah. It's just like, okay.
Some money in that.
Oh, it's all about clickbait. It's all about the money. You know,
I mean, and that's my first book, In God We Trust, The Dollar We Worship. And I'm not just here to try to sell books because I've given away thousands of them. It's a very expensive business card. And, you know, and the other thing that we didn't talk about, we don't even have any time, but what I try to do with people that want to hear about it is what's called biblical responsible investing. You know, you can invest in companies that will take their profits and sow into Planned Parenthood and human trafficking, or you could take your profit, your stocks, and invest in companies that will dig wells in Africa and plant churches.
Yeah.
And you know, it's the kind of the same amount of return to the same amount of risk. So you don't have to invest in the companies that are doing the enemy's work for them. And when you look in, I spent a whole chapter in the financial section on BlackRock and what it means. And there's so much involved in each pillar individually that when you pull it apart, you're like, oh my gosh, really? And then when you put it all together, it's like one neat little package. And Satan just wrapped it all up. Keep in mind, there's that tapestry, except Satan's tapestry is different. Okay. Mm-hmm. But you know, all these little things we ignore, but when you stack them on top of each other, it creates this this moment. You know, when we look into like when Rockefeller created the first big oil empire, well, the byproduct of big oil was used to make pharmaceuticals, and he used that to create the pharmaceutical industry. People weren't taking the drugs, so he gave some lots of money to some of these Ivy League colleges, and that's how people became doctors, by using his new medical system. It's no longer about the food pyramid. It's no longer about the diet and exercise. You know, I have people in my family that have struggled with eating disorders. I know that even these nutrition people don't even talk about the food pyramid. They talk about narcotics. They talk about the drugs. And when people got cancer, he created the American Cancer Society. And
it's just one big scam. One big scam. You know,
and it all layers on.
They want to keep you sick. They want to keep you sick. They want to keep 100%. You that way. I mean, I don't know about you, but 10, 15 years ago, you turn on TV, you never saw these commercials about this drug, buy this drug, buy that drug. I don't even know what they're selling. I don't even know what it is. And all of it, you hear it's
disclaimers.
And it all tells you is like, oh, this, it'll do this. You'll die. This will happen. This side effect. That was like, why do you want to take that? You know, it's like, they have a pill for
the side effects are suicide.
Yeah. Okay.
Here's the interesting thing. You're watching Fox News and they're telling you the truth.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden you break to a commercial for Pfizer, and then the commercial, he comes back on and they're telling you the truth. Now it comes back on for AstraZeneca. Like, pharmaceutical industry has taken over the media.
Yeah.
Because if they're going to advertise, all right, let's face it, money makes the world go around, period, the end. It's no longer about telling you what's going on. It's about forcing you into their narrative. And the news media and the film industry, that's one of the pillars that Satan has totally engulfed. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's probably like three people in Hollywood that are really awesome and believe in Jesus and like don't line up with this junk, but the rest of them do. And when if they can't get you to succumb to their line of thinking, then they'll insult you and they'll call you names and they'll label you, and then they, if that doesn't work, well then they'll just buy you out
or cancel you. you know, cancel you.
Remember the song by Supertramp?
Oh, yeah.
Watch what you say. They'll be calling you a radical. That was in the 70s. I love that song.
Right. Exactly. And that's why they use Hollywood. Why do you think Hollywood, the so-called celebrities, why they were pushing the vaccine? Why were they doing that? You know what I mean? And, you know, and then every time you turn around, you know, oh, mask up, take the shot, save your family, blah, blah, blah. You know, and it's because they know, I mean, the majority of the people, like that Taylor Swift, I'm sorry, she's Satan. The people, you know, these kids are brainwashed by her. You know what I mean? That's what Hollywood does. That's what Satan does. Hollywood is his production. That is him.
Absolutely. Keep in mind, Satan was the worship leader. So he was, you know, he was the first producer.
Yeah. Good point. That's true. So he knows what he's doing when it comes to production.
Sure.
He's going to, sure. I mean, he started the AI thing that's happening now. That's scary.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, many years ago, I was blessed to be part of a production where we made a pro-life film called The Voice of John. And thevoiceofjohn.org, you can watch it there for free. We don't have enough time to talk about it because we can talk about 2 hours for this film. But I was in Los Angeles once in my entire life, and it was actually there to have a meeting with Ray Comfort and Kirk Cameron about, you know, helping us with the film. And I was walking down what's the street where all the stars are? What's it called? Whatever that street is, you know,
Hollywood, anyway, is Hollywood Boulevard or something? Maybe I don't know.
The Chinese Theater. And all that.
Yeah.
Were you ever in an environment where you literally felt the presence of evil? Like,
oh, yes,
literally.
Absolutely. It's like your whole chest is heavy. You just feel, yeah, suffocated. Absolutely. Feel suffocation.
Great word.
Yes.
Absolutely. And that's how
I experienced that, Don. I experienced that during the pandemic just in my own community. I could feel the evil outside my house. But go ahead.
Where are you from? What part of the country?
I'm in Greeley, Colorado.
Oh, okay.
Northern Colorado. And Colorado used to be a red state, not anymore. That's another story in itself.
I know.
But go ahead, Don. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
That's quite all right. But I couldn't wait to get out of there. I couldn't wait to get out of that state. And,
right.
And you know, another time when I was on a trip, we were in San Francisco with my wife, and it was gorgeous, but you could see how it was just, you know, being infiltrated. And it's so, so sad that only certain people notice it. And then when they talk about, you're one of them Bible thumpers. Well, you know.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
I don't got a problem with it.
And I'll teach you something, you know.
Yeah.
And if I'm wrong, so what?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So it's, you know, I get to the point, you know, Where you know, you start to become an old man, and you think, you know, like, you know, it'd be like those two old guys in the Muppet Show up in the balcony.
Oh yeah, I think of those guys a lot. Yeah, I'm
I
one
do
of them
too.
Yeah,
I do, and I am that guy. You know.
Yeah.
And it's like
yelling at these stupid people.
Correct.
Yeah, it's like, what are you thinking? Why are you still wearing that mask? Why are you still doing it?
I love it. My favorite was the before the State of the Union. I didn't watch it. Okay.
Oh, I didn't either. I refused.
Absolutely. But there's some great clips on YouTube. But anyway, there was this clip of Bernie Sanders talking, I guess it was his wife next to him. They're yucking it up and laughing, and then the cameras go on. Whoop, there goes the mask. I'm like, come on, dude. Really?
Yeah.
You forgot about the pregame show? You know?
Yeah. Exactly. Did we not discuss this before the pre-production guy?
You apparently didn't get the memo.
Yeah. Apparently not.
You know, like you said, like God doesn't and get involved in elections. Okay. I believe he wants godly people to run his lands, but there's going to be 10 kings in the book of Revelation that are going to answer to the Antichrist. And those 10 kings are going to pretty much divide up the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's some speculation on whether the United States is even part of that or not. And once again, when
doesn't
you
matter.
Believe what the
it
word
matter.
Says.
Yep, exactly.
Do you know, I used to get people like, I can't believe you want to talk about Revelation. That's so dark. Dark. Everything in this book talks about Jesus coming back. But yet, when you want to discuss how it's going to happen, oh, you know, people talk, oh, when I get to heaven, when I get to heaven, when I get to heaven. But when somebody dies, they're not rejoicing that their loved one is in heaven.
Right.
Like, wake up. You know, yeah. It's that simple. When you truly believe with every cell in your body that in the twinkling of an eye, you're in the presence of the Lord. Done.
Yeah.
You don't have nothing to be afraid of. You have nothing to be anxiety over. You know, we're preppers a little bit, you know. And my wife's like, well, what do we do all this stuff when the rapture comes? I says, well, then somebody who's not saved can kick in our door and they can find, you know, all the supplies they need. So right. It doesn't matter.
No,
it doesn't. Only matters about Jesus if people just don't get it. And you could, I've tried everything I could do. You know, I've tried mm-hmm. making songs. I tried making movies. I've tried writing books. And notice how many times I said I. And the Holy Spirit's like, dude, you're just the paper boy. All you're supposed to do is deliver the good news and let him drive. And that's hard to do.
Yeah. Even if you only do one little piece, God will pass it on to the next person, kind of like a baton race, you know.
There you go.
You know, that kind of thing, you know. I think a lot of times I've been guilty of this where I think like, this is it. Shouldn't I be doing something bigger? But I don't think God sees it that way. He uses the small people. He did it in the Bible. You see,
well, the whole glass of water thing. Like, really? Does the glass of water? Really?
Yeah. I mean, and then he calls the unqualified is who he calls is the way I see.
You know, it's funny in Jewish culture, every male wants to be a rabbi. And if you can't be a rabbi, you have to memorize the first five books of the Bible. And if you kind of don't get there, you're kind of kicked out of Torah school and now you become a fisherman. Okay. And when a rabbi wants to have somebody come under his wing, he walks up to them and says, follow me. Now let's put this back into perspective of the Word of God. Jesus walks up to the fisherman who obviously flunked out of rabbi school and said, follow me. So immediately it wasn't like, who's this guy? What do we got to know? What's his resume? Was he vetted? What do we know about him? Is he on YouTube? Like, no, they dropped what they were doing and they followed him because immediately they know who and what he was.
Right.
And they also knew that those words were very, very, very specific.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we're not Jewish people, but when we look at the Word of God through a Jewish lens from their culture, the words jump off the page and it's a whole different thing. You know, just real quickly, they're like in that little when Jesus, after he rose from the dead and he's having his little discussion with Peter, he says, do you love me? Well, we read that and Jesus asked him that three times.
Yeah.
But when you break that down into Greek, Jesus says, Peter, do you agape me? And agape is the type of love only Jesus can give.
Right.
And Peter said, Lord, I philio you. That's Philadelphia, the brotherly love, the only way we can give. So he wasn't denying, but in English it says, yes, Lord, I love you.
Right.
But it says, no, I philio you. And then Jesus says, Peter, do you agape me? And Peter says, I philio you. And then the third time he says, Peter, do you feel me? And he said, yes, Lord, I feel you. Now, when you put that in perspective, using those different real words that it was written in, well, now all of a sudden that little conversation is like, wow, that's so cool. That's so amazing. And little things like that, if you have the right teacher, it allows you to look at the Bible in a whole different perspective, and it's exciting. It's exciting. And, you know, then you see, like, little things like that same exact passage of Scripture. Jesus was cooking fish over charcoal, and it specifically says charcoal in that word, whatever that Greek word is. And the only other time that word is used is when Peter was warming himself over charcoal as Jesus was being interrogated by the Pharisees. So these little tiny things that the Lord put, these little nuggets,
little messages, little messages. Yeah. They're Easter eggs. They're Easter eggs.
Exactly.
They're hidden. Yeah.
It makes reading the Bible exciting. It makes it fun. Because I think some people are like, I want to read the Bible, I just don't get it. Well, you'll get it if you know who he is, and your heart will be opened, and all of a sudden the skin will
fall off
your eyes.
Ask him to help you understand it.
Yeah.
He'll be more than glad to help you understand it, you know.
100%.
I think also that's what they say, you know, isn't there a lot of things in the Bible where, you know, it's repeatedly, like you said, three times. There's a lot of things that God does think, you know, three times, you know. I think maybe that's why he tells you to read things three times to get it through our thick skulls. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Because, yeah. Again, I say to you. Because, you know, because in Italian, the word is botch. It's crazy.
Yeah. And also, and, you know, he knew that it would be hard for the human being to understand some of that stuff, you know. I think a lot of people stay away from Revelation because it's too confusing. It is a very confusing book, you know.
It is.
Do you know if anybody? Do you know if anybody has a book out there that explains Revelation? I mean,
Perry Stone's ministry. It's perrystone.org.
Yeah, Perry Stone is good. Yeah.
He was in the film I made, The Voice of John, and that's how I got to have a little bit of a relationship with him. And I've been utilizing his study tool, and he has so much material. Everything that I just threw at you, I learned from his ministry. I'm not that smart. Okay. Right. So literally, if you say, listen, I want to learn this stuff, that's the go-to guy. He has it's called the International School of the Word. It's like an actual like Bible accredited college. You can get classes and stuff.
I've seen some of his videos.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And when I went to Israel, it was one of his trips. And
yeah, he does like a tour, doesn't he? Doesn't he do like a tour? Yeah.
Yep. And all of his YouTube videos of late are filmed in Israel, like these little 10-minute teachings and stuff. So when you see those 10-minute teachings and there's those crowd of people behind them, well, that's the tour we were on. And
nice, yeah.
It's unbelievable. You're standing where Jesus walked, and he's telling you like kind of some of the stuff I was just sharing. But you're standing on that piece of land, hearing it from the Hebrew culture perspective, and now the Bible is jumping off the page. And when you read that scripture in the future, immediately your mind goes back to that. Like we were on the Sea of Galilee, okay, and it was like this double-decker boat, you know? And Perry's having a church service upstairs, and it's awesome. And I said to my wife, let's go downstairs onto this first level of the boat. Nobody was there. Nobody. And there we are in the Sea of Galilee, 100% quiet. And I just looked out at the water and wept. Like, what if that's the exact same spot of this water where Jesus stepped? You know, you think the Sea of Galilee, you think it's like small. This thing was 7 miles across, and these guys rode back and forth every day like it was nothing.
Right.
And I'm like, you can barely see the other side on if it's not a beautiful day. And the water was so calm, and in a heartbeat, it could rear up, and those waves could be over the top of the boat.
Yeah.
And when you're there, on that like that kind of environment. And you could just feel like it's almost like Jesus is standing next to you with his arm around you, just smiling. It's like, wow.
Wow.
It's breathtaking.
What an experience.
It's breathtaking. And I just pray that this junk clears up over there and people can start going back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That would be awesome. That would be awesome. Real quick, Don, before we go, I want to talk real quick about Donald Trump. The reason why is just want to get your opinion to make people think. Okay, he's definitely been doing what I think pro God. As far as I'm not saying he's perfect, and I'm not saying he's, you know, the Almighty. God's using him as a tool. I really believe that. So if he does come back, he's going to be doing the rightful godly things, I would think. Why do you think God would allow that? You know, why not just let him? You know, if it's the end time thing, do you think God's like what he's like? Given another opportunity to slow down the window for people to get their life together? What do you think?
With that exact question, because I truly, truly, truly believe, you know, and when I'm going through all of my things about the last 100 years of presidents, if Trump was in this term right now, we would not be closer to where we are for the coming of Christ, because a lot of the junk that has happened had to happen under a senile old brilliant man who can just, you know, close his eyes and let somebody else drive.
Hey, hey, real quick, Don, do you remember on the Poltergeist 2, the priest? The that's him.
Thanks. I'll never get that image out of.
But go ahead.
So, I mean, I every president said they were going to make Israel the capital for or the where the our embassy will be. Nobody did it. He did. Okay, I stood there. I stood in front of it. Okay. I'm not. People think we have to elect a pastor. Well, if we have to elect a pastor, then we got some serious issues with who we elected currently.
Especially nowadays,
exactly. Right. So God sends people a bad ruler when people are disobedient. So if we continue to be disobedient, we'll continue to have a bad ruler. Right. So when people care more about abortion than they do whether or not you have clean water, that's an issue. Okay, God has a real issue with taking innocent killing of innocent blood. And if you're going to continue that path, you're going to have incredible bad leaders. Now, let's say he gets in. All right. It's none of our business whether or not he's saved. Okay. It's none of our business whether or not.
That's between him and God. Okay?
Exactly. It's between him and God. And, you know, like I'm not going to sit here just like I'm not going to talk about whether or not he's saved. We're not going to mention all of Biden's sins, okay? Because, you know, let's take the plank out of our own eye, so to speak.
Exactly.
But the point is, we are going to be questioned on what we did. And they're going to say, why did you vote for Biden? Why did you vote for Trump? Mm-hmm. All right, so we have to make a decision. Like, do we feel in our spirit, all right, you know, I don't know what he's about, scripturally and biblically, but
I know
he's pro-life.
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't before. Well, people change when God gets in their hearts. Okay.
That's right.
We use the data we're given and we make the best decision we can. Do I think it's going to change anything? 100% not. Okay. Mm-hmm. God has a timeline that only the Father knows. Okay. The Son doesn't even know when that timeline is.
That's right.
According to what Jesus said. So that timeline was, you know, when the earth was formed, God knew that date. So everything we're doing here, I don't want to say it's an exercise in futility, but yeah, it kind of is. Mm-hmm. You know, like as long as what you're doing for the Lord and you're praying and you're believing and you're spending your time worshiping and praising the Lord. Who cares who's running the country? Because they're all going to stink at it. Because we know the earth is destroyed.
Yeah.
And we know there's going to be a one world ruler who's going to have 10 kings, who's going to have a one world currency.
Can't stop it.
You know, we. Okay.
Yeah.
So once again, if you believe what the word says and you know we're out before it happens, bring it on. I can't wait.
Right.
I'm going to go to the polls and I'm going to vote for who I believe is going to do what God will want them to do.
That's a great way to look at it.
That's all I can do.
That's all you can do. That's all you ask. That's all you ask. You know, that's all that God asks. Yeah.
Right.
Great point, Don. I didn't even think of that. So, yeah. Okay. Well, that could be part of the church praying that God will, you know, save the country and allow more time, and maybe God will return the right person back in power to, to allow, I believe, to allow more time, because I've been praying too. Please, Lord, delay some of this to get more souls saved, you know.
Well, God said that, you know, when the fullness of the Gentiles takes place, that means all of the Gentiles have, you know, received Jesus. That's when it's over. So God knows that time.
Yeah.
He knows how many are left. Okay. People have this tendency to think that, you know, every person in the world has to have somebody sit there and tell them about Jesus. It doesn't really say that. It says that the gospel will be preached throughout the world. Now, through media, okay, through venues such as yours, everybody's heard of Jesus.
Yep.
And they've made a predetermined notion of whether or not they're going
to accept
him. Right. Okay. Yep. So, you know, I used to always think, like, you know, I have to have this person witness Jesus while I'm here. Like, Get over yourself, dude. Stop trying to be the Holy Spirit for people.
Maybe you're not the one. It might be somebody else. You may not be the one.
The Lord gave me an analogy. He said, you know, witnessing to people is like a box of tissues. You know, you want to accept Jesus? You pull it out. Oh, no? Next. Want to accept Jesus? Next. So your job is to tell them about him, not force him.
Remove the dust off your feet and move on.
Right.
It's kind of hard. It's kind of hard, especially if it's somebody you care about. You know,
true. So, and that's why a lot of times it's a stranger that brings your brother to the Lord.
Yeah.
Your physical brother.
You're too close to it, probably. Maybe that's why, you know, and somebody else. Wow, Don, thank you so much. Where can people get your book? I know on your website. Could you tell them? You're on Amazon and everything like that?
The book website is a-woken. The word awoken was already taken, but it's www.a-woken.com. And all of my books are on that link. My media page is just my name, dongallade.com. Sometimes people spell it like the air freshener. There's two A's. So, so all my media stuff is on there. Links to our financial businesses and everything are off of that as well. I would be blessed for folks to read it. I ask one thing. If you buy the book, after you're done reading it, give it to somebody else to read.
There you go.
And ask them to do the same thing. All right. Now, why am I doing that? I can say, tell everybody to buy the book. I don't care about how many books we sell. All right. I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. So buy the book, read it, give it to somebody else. And then if a couple thousand people get to come to Jesus, who knows? Maybe we'll speed this thing up.
It could be, right? Go to warp speed there, like they didn't Star Trek. Well, Don, thank you so much, sir. You've been a blessing. I love to have you back on because there's so much more we can talk about.
Absolutely. You know? I would be welcome. If you'll have me back, I'm willing to come back anytime you want. It was a blast. I enjoy having a conversation with folks that truly, truly, truly love Jesus, because it just, you could tell. You could just tell just in just by looking at you through your eyes, you could just see this dude loves Jesus. It's awesome.
Absolutely.
We're going to have a good time, if nothing
else. You too, man. You too, brother.
Awesome.
Be safe and God bless you. And we'll be in touch again, my friend.
Thank you, sir.